Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Nall. Always a pleasure to be able to share really positive insights. This program is about empowering people in all areas of life. And of course, something we all have in common is we want to live a longer life, healthier, happier, without pain, and a meaningful existence. Today, I'm going to share some insights that will help some of that actually happen. All the information that I am sharing comes from PubMed, the National Library of Medicine, peer-reviewed journals from respected institutions. Now, why do I say that after all these years? Because we have brand new listeners all the time. And good, because people are telling other people, hey, you want to hear something you wouldn't hear elsewhere? You want to hear some really empowering information, not just blathering on and bloviating? Listen to Gary Nall's show. So that's why I just want to give you this caveat that the information I'm sharing every day is original. We don't repeat. It's all brand new. And it's meant to allow you a greater choice over what you want to put into your body and mind. So our first study today comes from the Indian Institute of Science. And specifically, the study unveils what is called picolinic acid's broad-spectrum antiviral abilities. Now, picolinic, P-I-C-O-L-I-N-I-C acid, is a natural compound found produced by mammalian cells. Now, why is that important? Because it can block several disease-causing viruses, such as SARS, COVID-2, and influenza A viruses, according to a new study by researchers at the Institute, Indian Institute of Sciences. It was published in the peer-reviewed journal Cell Reports Medicine. Why do I give that? Why would the average person care where it was published? Because I have an awful lot of medical doctors, scientists, I have nurses, pharmacists who watch this program. And you can watch by going to prn.live, PRN stands for Progressive Radio Network.live, scroll down to archives and scroll down to Gary Nall Show. So all the video clips that I play, you can watch. You can watch, if you choose to, me here in my study in Florida. And so I want you to know, if you really want to do more scholarly research or just verify for yourself that the information is accurate, it's easy to do. That said, the study describes the compound's remarkable ability to disrupt the entry of enveloped viruses into the host cells and prevent infection. Keep this in mind. We're not all equally susceptible to anything. We're not the same. Think of it this way, for those of you who are school teachers, how many times have you seen 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6 students in a class are out with a flu or a cold, yet the other students aren't? Were they not exposed? Of course they were exposed. You're in a small classroom, and it's not sterilized after each class. It doesn't have air filters that could trap the small size of particle or bacteria. So yeah, what's the difference? The strength of your immune system. The stronger your immune system, the more things you can repel. If you have a high level of the natural anti-cancer agents in your body, then you're going to be able to trap those cancer cells, destroy them before they can accumulate and cause a mass. So this is what this is saying, and it's important. Now, our gut, but in its natural form, it stays inside the body, only for a short duration, and is usually excreted out quickly. In recent years, scientists have begun noticing that it may also exhibit antiviral activity. And so they found that it actually works against the SARS virus. That was the professor in the Department of Microbiology and Cell Biology. Notably, picolinic acid displayed a preference for blocking enveloped viruses. In addition to its usual protein coat found in all viruses, these enveloped viruses also have an extra outer membrane made of lipid derived from the host. This envelope is crucial for viruses' entry into the target cells. Incidentally, the majority of human viruses with high prevalence and pandemic potential are envelope viruses. So when the compound was tested on SARS-2 and influenza animal models, it was found to protect the animals from infection. It was also found to reduce viral load in the lungs when given to infected animals. In addition, the researchers found that picolinic acid led to an increase in the number of immune cells in the animals. So shouldn't we be having picolinic acid in hospitals, in doctors' offices, for those who are suffering from long COVID or have had COVID and therefore can help their immune system? Now, something else that can help us live a longer life is resveratrol. Now, resveratrol, R-E-S-V-E-R-A-T-R-O-L, resveratrol. You find it in grapes. You find it in blueberries. You find it in grape juice in a lot. Well, according to this, it can help prevent sedentary lifestyle effects. Who says? University of Strasbourg in France, where it was published in a highly respected scientific journal, FASEB, and reveals that yet another benefit from resveratrol. And by the way, it's a polyphenol. Some people say, oh, well, we get it in red wine. You get very little in red wine. I mean, how much do you really need depends upon what you're trying to do. If you're in an anti-aging protocol, you're going to go up high. I mean, I'm not going to go into numbers, but it's really high. If you just want to keep your immune system strong, it's generally 100 to 200 milligrams a day. 5 milligrams or more are found in a glass of wine. So you'd have to drink 3 cases of wine to get what you needed in a day to protect yourself. So that's kind of a myth. And by the way, it's not just a myth, but the whole idea that alcohol helps you is a myth. And remember about 30 years ago, word was that a glass of alcohol a day helps you stay fit longer and helps your heart. That was a lie. And yet it caught on, and across America, people began to drink one or even two glasses. Well, one glass of alcohol is good. Why not a second glass? A gentleman came into my office. He was a well-known attorney, and he was having problems, and he couldn't figure out why, and his cardiologist couldn't figure out why. So I went through his diet, and his diet was actually pretty good. And he actually had some supplements he was taking, like coenzyme Q10, which was good, magnesium, L-carnitine. Those are good. That's all he was taking. He could have taken a lot more. But he was also suffering from cardiomyopathy, and that's not good because that can lead to congestive heart failure. And so I said, is this everything in your diet? He says, yeah. Yeah, everything I eat. What do you drink? Well, you know, I have a glass of orange juice in the morning, but I have my 2 glasses of alcohol each day. 2 glasses of alcohol? Why? My cardiologist recommended it. Well, he actually recommended 1, and I take 2. What kind? Bourbon. You're up there with alcohol at a level that's going to destroy at least 1 million brain cells, heart cells, kidney cells, liver cells with every drink. Oh, why did he not know this? Because no one knows this. Because we have stupid science. So I explained this to him. I wrote a book on alcohol and nutrition. There is no such thing as a safe level of alcohol, period. All right? Anyone who tells you otherwise, they might believe it, but the science is against them. If you want to prematurely age yourselves, if you want to unravel the chromosomes at the end, the telomeres that are protecting you, cause them to die, so you die sooner, a lot sooner, drink. It doesn't matter what you drink. It's a negative effect, whether it's beer, wine, alcohol. The only saving grace of wine, red wine, not white wine, is that there is some resveratrol in there, but it can also have alcohol content, depending upon if you made it yourself and naturally fermented or whether it was commercially produced. But it's enough alcohol to destroy cells. I went to France. I wanted to find out what this was all about. And I found that the French are very interested in organic or unsprayed food. But on almost every person's home I went into, and I had a friend who lived in France, and he took me around to the people he knew in his village, and we talked. And every one of them had a big plate or bowl of grapes and other fruits on their table. And that's what they snacked on. And that's what they ate after their main meal. And so I'm thinking, that's got resveratrol in it. And then you start measuring that if you eat the grape, you get a lot more resveratrol than if you drink the wine. But if you have a grape concentrate and grape juice, you're getting three times more than eating the grapes. So there was a step by step. So I said, it's not the alcohol that's protecting them, even though they have high cholesterol diet. It's the resveratrol, the active polyphenol in the grapes. So they're eating the grapes, they're drinking red wine, but otherwise they have a pretty healthy lifestyle. So we took something and completely misinterpreted. Drink alcohol is good for your heart. No, eat grapes are good for your heart. Science got it completely wrong. All of medicine got it wrong, except maybe Dean Ornish and a few holistic physicians. So you want resveratrol. You want it in your body. And what it does, according to this study, it can help significantly the physiological alterations, such as muscle atrophy and force reduction, insulin resistance, and substrate use. So when you're getting bone loss, when you're sedentary, a whole lot goes wrong in your body. And you don't have to be older for this to happen. Young people are sedentary. They're not active the way they used to be. And so having resveratrol helps neutralize some of the serious health deterioration during the long term of being sedentary. Just something to help you. Now, maybe you're active and that's fine, but maybe you have a parent or friend that either they're physically limited in what they can do, but even if they're in a wheelchair, get them to get these little pads. And these little pads, you push a button and it vibrates as if your muscle was working. And you put those in all the different muscles in the body, and it can really help stimulate circulation, stimulates lymphatic flow and drainage, and helps you keep from having muscle atrophy, right? Just something good, something inexpensive. Now, when's the best time to eat breakfast? Early. Why? It reduces the risk of developing type 2 diabetes. Who says? Barcelona Institute for Global Health. So eating a breakfast after 9 p.m. increases the risk of developing type 2 diabetes by 59% compared to people who eat breakfast 8 a.m. or sooner. Now, this is the main conclusion of a study in which 100,000 participants in a French cohort study, and the results showed that the earlier you eat your breakfast, the better. Okay, but how does that contradict that you should also engage in fasting from dinner until breakfast with at least 12 to 14 hours? Simple. Eat dinner earlier. If you can eat dinner 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, and not eat again until, let's say, 6 o'clock the next morning, or let's say you finish dinner at 7, okay, don't eat breakfast until 7. That gives you 12 hours. So you can do both. You can do intermittent fasting, and you can also do an early breakfast. But a lot of people don't eat breakfast. That's bad. And biologically, it's really bad, skipping breakfast. It's known to affect glucose and lipid control, as well as insulin levels. And that contributes to type 2 diabetes. So eat early, all right? And eat something healthy. Stay away from caffeinated beverages also. And finally, from LA Biomed, why does acupuncture work? Well, studies find that it elevates nitric oxide, leading to pain reduction. It also helps reestablish normal heart rhythms. My acupuncturist, and I go preventatively, I go once a month to a chiropractor, an older gentleman who's been practicing for 45 years, and just to keep attuned, because of all the traveling I do, and how long I'm in a car, so even though I get out every 2 hours and walk and do push-ups, et cetera. On a flight, I'm walking up and down the house. People must think I'm nuts. No, I'm stimulating flow. I don't want to end up with some form of blood clot in my legs, which is thrombosis, very easy. You'd stay sitting, especially if you cross your legs. Never cross your legs. Never, ever, ever cross your legs when sitting. It's really dangerous. But acupuncture, according to the MD, medical doctor from China, and he's the best acupuncturist I've found. And I go every week just for prevention. Now, there are 363 acupuncture energy points in the body. And when the needle goes in, how far it goes in, and whether the heat twists it to the right or to the left, will stimulate the release of energy. And that energy can then help stimulate the body's natural healing rhythms. But what really needs electrical pulses evenly, constantly? Your heart. And guess what adversely affects it? Electromagnetic frequencies. Now, I'm sitting back from my monitor about, 5.5, 6 feet, and I measured it. There's no electrical pulses hitting me. I also have some devices in my studio here that protects from those pulses. And I have an old phone, and I don't put it to my ear. I put it on speaker when I'm talking. Again, I stay away from it. So all the different things that people do, like their laptop on their lap, watch a person on a flight, they'll put it right there, right on their lap. That's radiating all over their reproductive system. Where I saw women putting that little cell phone on their on a chain and put it around their neck and then put it down on their chest. So it's available when they get a call. That's pulsing right into your heart and to your breast tissue, to your lung. Now, there are scientific studies, if you choose to read them, that I published on GaryNall.com. Global Research featured them. Now, Global Research is one of the most respected professional sites in the world. Everybody goes to it. And other sites use it because it's always qualified information. You'll see MD, PhD, almost after every article, the authors. These are serious people. But the average person doesn't know about it, hence doesn't read it. But go to Global Research. Anyhow, of all the articles he publishes every day, he featured my latest one on the effects of 5G on children's health. Now, shouldn't we all be interested in children's health? Of course we should. But we're not, because we don't know the adverse effects. We think they must be safe, or we wouldn't be allowed to use them. Not true. So anyhow, acupuncture, I've seen it in people. I've seen it in people I've recommended for acupuncture who had AFib. Boom. No more AFib. And tachycardia. So it works in ways that average doctors or scientists are not aware. If you want to know how it really works, speak with a medical doctor trained, raised in China, who's living in the United States, because they have a far more profound understanding of it. And they can take pulses. Where you'll take a pulse and you hear one beat, they can hear seven different beats, taking seven different pulses. It's just something I recommend preventatively. Anyhow, what they found in this particular study was that acupuncture, they understand now better, something the Orientals have known for thousands of years, that nitric oxide is elevated in the skin at the acupoints, where the needles are inserted and manipulated. And they noted that nitric, N-I-T-R-I-C, oxide, which you get if you have beets, that's one of the reasons it lowers your blood pressure, having beet juice, and or pomegranates, lowers your blood pressure, enhances the circulation to your heart. That's how it works. So it increases blood flow when the needle goes in and encourages the release of analgesics, or sensitizing substances, which causes the skin to feel warmer and contributes to the beneficial effects of the therapy. It's painless, non-invasive. So that's something that more people should be using. That's the latest on health and healing. We're going to take a break, come right back. And remember, I have the Gary Nall newsletter, which goes out. Every day it goes out. And a lot of my articles are published in there, and I'm putting clips of films in there, and my latest essays. I do a lot of essays, on different aspects of health go in there. So go to GaryNall.com, and you'll see how you can join the newsletter. We'll be back in a moment. Oh, one last thing. I think this is important. This is from the Douglas Mental Health Hospital Institute in Quebec. Living in the country really is healthier than the city life. A sound diet, exercise, plenty of sleep, and especially the concrete jungle of the city life All these things contribute to a longer, healthier, and less stressful life. Well, except the concrete jungle. But escaping it does. How about that? So a lot of people living in the urban cities, they can eat a good diet. They can, you know, they can get out and exercise. They can get a good night's sleep. But they're still in a concrete jungle. Get out into nature. Get into the country. This shows that's the healthiest place to live. The most unhealthy place to live are in the cities and in the suburbs. Hope that you take that to a deeper level. We're going to be back in a moment. Please stay with us.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm going to share some insights that you're probably not aware of. These are accurate, but they're not going to be played in the mainstream media. In fact, not played in most alternative media. The first one comes from Steve Kirsch, and his new research shows, quote, over 1 million Americans are likely severely vaccine injured by the COVID vaccines. Imagine going from being perfectly healthy to suddenly having 30 or more chronic symptoms in common with the vaccine injured. We need to stop these shots as soon as possible, end quote. But here's the summary of this substantial report. There were 100,000 people involved in this research. And here are the results. Quote, I received over 1,000 responses. The comments are devastating. Take the time to read them. It's important to notice that over 100 of those were severely injured with 30 or more symptoms that are common to the COVID vaccine. Can you imagine going from perfectly normal to having all these conditions? I wrote a story about one of the people most injured, Marcia Gee. She was perfectly healthy before the shots. After the shots, she exhibited 78 of the 100 or so symptoms common to COVID vaccine victims. That's not just bad luck or a coincidence. Nothing much has changed in the years since I wrote the story. Doctors are still claiming that injuries are rare and few doctors are speaking out. Because the doctors stay silent, every doctor assumes that it is just them who is having the bad luck. They don't want to say anything because they don't want to alarm people. So nobody has figured out that nearly everyone is unlucky. Here are the numbers. So please, for those of you who were not vaccinated, you're on the right side of history and truth. For those of you who were, we are sorry for you, but we will do all we can to help you. We will not shame you. We will not denigrate you, as in fact, the vast majority of the media and the public shamed and attacked people, both physically, hitting them, slugging them, arresting them, when they posed no threat to society. In effect, we went into full-blown McCarthyism, medical McCarthyism. So it's something to learn. If nothing else, if you were wrong about that and life and death was the outcome, shouldn't you at least now realize the next time they do it, and they will do this again because they need to control people. They'll do it in different ways. They'll do it with a digital currency. They'll do it with an ID card. They'll do it by taking away homes. But they're going to do it. Here's what Kirsch says, quote, the numbers are staggering. Over 270 million Americans got the shot. By the way, that means 52 million Americans did not. The V-shaped data showed 8% of people who got the shot had to seek medical attention. That translates to about 22 million, I repeat, 22 million who were actually injured. It also appears that a huge number of Americans were disabled by the vaccines. Over 1 million women and 750,000 men to date are permanently disabled. I mean, they're not coming back, and that's unfortunate. See anything about this? 60 Minutes, 2020, New York Times, PBS, NPR? No, and you won't. Quote, in addition, I've estimated earlier that 640,000 Americans have been killed by the shot. The shot kills roughly one person in every 1,000 doses, as noted at the end of this paper. And all of the statistics are documented. has been confirmed by many other analysis using different approaches. Could it be something other than the vaccines that would cause this much unprecedented disability? It has been something novel that we've never seen before. This limits the possibilities, doesn't it? It has to be novel. It is to be able to seriously injure people in a way that gets worse over time, either by grinding away at the people from inside or being repeatedly applied, meaning multiple vaccines. And anyhow, then he has the summary. This is one person who's chosen to spend his resources getting at the truth, and the only thing he gets in return is being attacked. By the way, I've said it repeatedly, we should stop funding the National Institutes of Science, the Science Foundation. We should stop all federal funding because the vast majority is worthless. And I've seen worthless funding. In fact, I once interviewed a person who was one of the peer reviewers who approved or disapproved of funding. And he said, Gary, it works this way. And he said this in a live broadcast on WMC Radio back in 1975. He said, let's just say you have 10 peer reviewers who are sitting at a table, not uncommon, and each one wants to be funded. They have a research paper, might be for a few million dollars or tens of millions of dollars. What is the likelihood that you're going to say no to that fund proposition and proposal across the table because they're going to say no in return? He says, so everybody says yes to get along and get their money. Well, this is just one example. And by the way, the last three audits tried of the Pentagon, they can't account for over $3 trillion. But who cares? Who cares? Why is it important to the average person if the government wastes all of your tax dollars and asks for more and spends where you don't benefit? And if we did benefit, if the government says, you know something, Detroit was once a great city. In fact, it had almost zero unemployment, a living wage from 1945 to 1975. You had union representation. People only had to work one job to take care of a whole family. There was no debt, and there was little to no crime in Detroit. The same was true for Camden, New Jersey. The same was true of Compton. In fact, 32 cities that are now ghetto, filled with crime, unsafe, were once the hallmarks of what could happen in America, and did. But all went sideways. The reason was because of greed. Not greed on the part of the people working, not the working class person. They were not greedy. No, it was the people controlling the stock, that controlled the ownership and the corporation. It says, why should we go through this union negotiation, these environmental rules? Let's just take this over to China or India or Haiti and have it manufactured and save a lot of money, make a lot more profit that we don't have to share with the employees, but the stockholders will like their big dividends. 30 million Americans lost their job over a 40-year period. And who was responsible for this? The administrators, the presidents, their cabinets. Why has that never been a story that anyone's done a documentary on or an article? I'm going to give you just one example of how your money is wasted, just one out of millions. Did you know that $6.9 million of your taxpayer dollars went to funding a smart toilet? Almost $7 million went to fund a smart toilet. Quote from Ashley St. Clair, Stanford University researcher Sungmin Park wrote that the notion of an anal print was observed by artist Salvador Dali, who found, Park said, that, quote, the anus has 35 to 37 creases, which are as unique as fingerprints, end quote. Building on that observation, the researcher and his colleagues built their mountable toilet system using funds from $6.97 million National Cancer Institute grant to Stanford. Okay, so what are we supposed to think of this? A, that you no longer have to get fingerprinted, you'll get anal printed, that they'll be able to somehow take a photograph of your anus and see whether you have five or six creases. All right. I'm sure that there's nothing else more important in life than you knowing that. And I'm sure someone, some sick bureaucrat, aren't they all, sitting there laughing, saying, God, American public are idiots. No, the American public are not idiots, but they're very trusting, and maybe this is time for them to realize we should stop all funding of everything because nothing that we're seeing is benefiting the average person, benefiting corporations, benefiting the profit line, bottom line. Just like, where do you think artificial intelligence is going? It's going to arm soldiers, transhuman or completely robotic soldiers with artificial intelligence that are not going to get tired, are not going to retreat. They're going to do what they're told to do. And that's the new battle. And all this is being done with our money, whether you like it or not. What is not being done is going back to those cities where we had living wages, good environment, and people working together, people living together, healing wounds from the past on bigotry and misogyny and racism, and cooperating and going forward. So why haven't we done anything to rehabilitate? Not in the way that you're thinking of, because normally you go into a neighborhood and you take it over and send all the people who could live there. They're gone. You don't care where they get, just get out. We're going to give you a few bucks now. Leave our neighborhood. And that was that's what happened in New York. That's what happened across the country. I'm talking about a Marshall Plan with the money we waste on useless science projects that benefit no one except the university and the people who got the grants, that we put that back into inner cities. Because what's missing in the American mindset right now? Security from being able to hold down a job that is not going to be replaced by artificial intelligence, automation, or robotics, where you're going to have a living wage, not a minimum wage, where one person in the family can work, the other can take care of the home, the children, which is an enormously important part of life that we had at one time. And if you don't think that's not connected to delinquency, drug addiction, crime, then you're not looking at the problem. Just want to share that with you. So now, that said, I just want to show you another study that's also important. And again, you're not going to see this anywhere else. This is a summary. The CDC used journal to promote masks despite, quote, unreliable and, quote, unsupportable data. Let me quote this from the Epoch Times. A new analysis of studies in the Center for Disease Control and Prevention's flagship scientific journal found the agency promoted the effectiveness of masks using unreliable data with conclusions unsupportable by evidence. The blueprint of the preprint published July 11th on MedRxiv found the CDC's morbidity mortality weekly report made positive findings about the efficacy of masks 75% of the time, despite only 30% of the studies testing masks and less than 15% having statistically significant results. No studies were randomized, yet the CDC and over half of their studies made misleading statements indicating a causal relationship between mask wearing and a decrease in COVID cases or transmissions, despite failing to show evidence of mask effectiveness. There were 77 reviews cited by the agency, and only 23 assessed the efficacy of masks. Yet 58 studies out of 77 claimed no effectiveness of masks at all. There was no causal language. So, what do we know? What's this tell us? It tells us the CDC, which controlled the war on AIDS, war on COVID, lied. Repeatedly lied. Has been lying right up till now, but their own data show they lied. So where are the scientists? Where are the ethicists? Where are the jurists saying you had everyone wearing masks, which increased carbon dioxide and lessened oxygen into the body, which can stunt people's growth, destroy neurons, cause all forms of problems, especially in children? They lied. Now, I told you the masks were not effective and actually dangerous, and I cited the actual studies. But once you're into a cult, once you're into an ideology, no truth will suffice. No facts will bear witness. blind rage in those who cannot question their own devalued system of beliefs dominates. And unfortunately, that's about 70% of the American population as we speak. Just want to show that so-called experts once again lied. And also, I'm going to play a clip tomorrow with Naomi Wolf, but on pregnancy. But here's something that you should know. Why did Pfizer halt COVID vaccine clinical trials for pregnant women? Oh, but they didn't, Gary. Yes, they did. Yeah, they did. In February 2021, Pfizer launched a randomized, placebo-controlled, observer-blind study to evaluate the safety of its COVID-19 shot, BNT162b2, in healthy pregnant women. The injections were set to take place between 24 and 34-week gestation, with participants randomized one-to-one to receive a COVID or placebo. The study was initially set to enroll 4,000 women, but Pfizer only signed up 349 women, not 4,000, 349 women, then stopped enrollment entirely. So, the CDC and Prevention's widespread endorsement of COVID shots for pregnant women before the study was completed shows that once again, they went to the press, they went to the media to lie. They went before Congress and lied under oath. They had no completed study on those pregnant women. So what have we found now? Over a 5,000% increase in miscarriages and stillbirths, complications, and that the fact is that the spike protein can go right through the placental barrier into the developing fetus. Everything you were told about COVID is a lie. These people should be held in a Nuremberg form of court in the United States, and they should spend the rest of their life in prison. So let me repeat this. No randomized trial data are available to use of the CDC shot in pregnant women, and Pfizer cut its pregnancy trial short. But yet they went ahead and recommended it. So for those of you who are so hardwired, nothing that is said, no fact, no truth will you accept. You'll just, you know, you want to stab someone in the eye because you're filled with rage. Okay. And I don't know if it was COVID that caused this, or maybe that's just your disposition. But for those of you who are somewhat reasonable, who still have some common sense and reason, how many times are you going to be lied to before you get the issue? It's not the problem of the liar. It's you. When are you going to do your homework and be responsible for what you put into your body? It's a question. I'd like your response. Here's my question, and I'll take some calls at the end of the program. Why is it that the average American, never questions the truth of whether or not they're doing something constructive or destructive to their life? And even when it's proven beyond all question that what they're doing is destructive to them, why won't they stop? Why won't they understand the lesson they could learn from that? But they don't. And that's why we have a morbidly obese nation that's not losing weight and won't, don't want to, and are angry at you if you bring it up that maybe you could help save their lives. Why do we continue to do everything wrong? I mean, everything wrong. Look at your politic. Suddenly, everything is racist. Black coffee, that's racist. Symphonies and Beethoven, racist. Why? Everything, when everything becomes racist, then true racism has lost its meaning. But when you have no better argument, when you're not intellectually capable of formulating an argument to support some contentious position, then you go to rage, you go to denial, you go to who can scream the loudest, who can hit the hardest, who can demean the most savagely. And that's the society we're living in today. Friends, listen to what I'm telling you. If you think it's bad now, nothing is bad today. This will be looked upon as the salad glory days of American culture based upon what's coming over the next 2 years. Mark my words on that, because I'm looking at everything happening at every level out there. Tomorrow I'll tell you about why you should not be buying bonds, because it's a huge, huge risk, and we're not being told the truth about anything. So I'll get into all of this. And by the way, now we're going to go to something. Over the last 3 days, I've played part 1, 2, and 3 of a documentary, the most award-winning documentary in the world at the International Independent Film Festivals, and it's called Cost of Denial. What have we learned? We've learned from a medical team of 22 medical professionals, many board-certified physicians, top nurses, dentists, etc. The 1,200 people who had full-blown AIDS, not just HIV infected or asymptomatic, but full-blown AIDS, were worked on with holistic, non-toxic protocols, open to the public. Everything was open. And not one of them died, and they all regained their health, even though they still had HIV virus. Their immune systems were great. Their T cells, perfect. And 18 of those, 10 there, 10 at the Institute of Applied Biology, and 8 at the Tri-State Healing Center went on, not coming in once every 2 weeks, but coming in every day, 6 days a week for 16 months, all for free, by the way. No one was charged a penny. That wasn't free to us. We had to donate our salaries. I never got a salary. I was paying for this. And so nobody could say it was too expensive. And we reversed all AIDS, HIV. That's what we learned. Then we learned that Tony Brown, PBS, and Bill McCreary, Channel 5, Bill Tatum, the Amsterdam News, Doug Henderson, and others, journalists, outstanding journalists, all within the African-American community, came there, spent months reviewing the data, speaking with the patients, looking at their charts with their permission, looking at their blood chemistries, etc. So we had hard factual data. You don't get on Tony Brown. You don't get on Tony Brown 8 times in a row in a 3-year period with patients who have been cured of AIDS unless you have absolute irrefutable proof. And you'll see Tony Brown in the film holding up the documents. He says, you know, we have the medical records here. They had to jump through hoops for months with each person before they bring them on. They didn't want to jeopardize their reputations, and understandably so. So we saw that. Now we're going to another part, and we'll play this only for about 12 minutes. And any calls that you'd like to make afterwards to talk about why people are choosing not at this time to be proactive about their health or even their conscious awareness of how they're being used, manipulated, lied to. And so if Fauci came out tomorrow, he won't, he's in retirement, but if he came out tomorrow and says, you know, you really need 10 more boosters, millions of Americans say, yes, sir, here's my arm. We trust you. Why? What's happening to us? Oh, by the way, you know the number one banned book in the world? 1984. Because it's not a novel anymore. It's reality. Let's go to the clip, please.
We'll turn to
the most
Sonoma.
Important
yes,
thing here is this.
Records here.
This is a test from Roche Biomedical Laboratories, which is a division of Hoffman Roche.
Turn
this is,
around a little bit
this is an official blood chemistry test. This shows that, and here's what's important, and this is why we're not talking about a test tube and stopping a virus in a test tube. These are live human beings. Their physician, using a holistic protocol, and this is a regular orthodox doctor, in a year, this person went from HIV positive active virus to P24 antigen test negative, HIV antibody positive. That means the HIV to have no antigen 24 means you have no active HIV active in the body. All you have is the antibody. Now, that means this person has made substantial improvement. And this should be getting some attention because it shows, and this is not the only person. There are many people like this.
That would be the question. People say, well, sometimes, you know, these things happen in isolation, so to speak.
Let me find this. You have physicians watching right now. Any physician treating a patient with AZT and DDI and DDC, please send me any results where you have someone who tested positive using standard tests for HIV P24 antigen positive, who after using those therapies, after a year, tested negative, and also has no active viral titers and no opportunistic disease. I'd be very interested in seeing that because I haven't found any, but I found many who've taken the different approach. Is that your experience?
Okay,
yes. My experience is with tens of thousands of people. The reason our group focuses on alternative approaches is the people doing the best are using them. Across the board, without exception, the people who are following the advice of the media and the advice of the medical establishment are dead or dying.
Hey, Gary,
our
can
group
you hear
has repeatedly seen over and over again
take it down, okay?
The people who are living with AIDS and those at risk who are staying healthy are using alternative treatments to AZT, DDI, and DDC.
Now for someone, you know, there's a lot of fraud going on out here. So
a lot of quackery. A lot of quackery.
And we don't want to get people involved in any kind of quackery.
Right.
We want to deal with absolute proof. And therefore, we will have you back again continue this.
What's important is that you have to differentiate those alternative therapies that have a scientific basis for healing and helping and those that do not, that are purely anecdotal. Michael's group, I don't treat and I don't diagnose. I merely investigate and try to see what works and what doesn't work. Mm-hmm. And at least they can go for support sessions to Michael's group, they're not selling anything. It's a nonprofit group that helps people who are HIV positive, helps them understand what options are available. Okay.
As members of the Fifth Estate, the press has been invested with the public trust and has an obligation to report the truth. Has the media been lax in its responsibility to fairly report all aspects, all views of the HIV/AIDS challenge? As journalists, there is a big responsibility. You need to consider how you cover a story, how you have been gathering information, the reliability of your sources. There is a need to see both sides of an issue impartially. Unfortunately, all too often, journalists are hampered by the thought of losing their jobs or simply not being published because of the controversial nature of their findings.
I certainly do believe that the media has a responsibility also. And that responsibility is to report fairly on all of the latest breakthroughs and whatever it may be it health, via technologies, that the media has that responsibility.
Every journalist who tackled it in every medium found themselves targeted, eliminated, if not driven from the profession permanently. Some only got very stern warnings. Many, many, when they got that first warning, that first tap on the shoulder, simply never touched it again. It was considered absolutely radioactive. It was cancer to your career. And they were very clear about this.
And the truth is that if you're a journalist who says, I'm going to report the truth in today's market where a few very powerful people control the media outlets in most countries, you'll lose your job.
Anyone who tries to venture into this field of trying to report fairly and accurately all sides of the story will immediately be pushed out onto the margins and told that they're being irresponsible and that they are trying to support people whose views are just not credible and they're nutters. And so the journalists themselves will then become treated as nutters and as rogues. And so they begin to lose their credibility. And so it's a very brave journalist who puts forward any of these views, because immediately he's in danger of having his whole journalistic career discredited.
If this is Eastern Europe metaphor, you're in East Berlin and you're not getting out and you're never really going to work. You're not going to be hired at the such and such. Your children are never going to be accepted at university. It's that totalitarian reach that they have. It's not just that your article is going to be decried or not published or protested against. It's going to filter out into every facet of your life, and it's not going to stop. It's not going to stop. It goes on and on and on. And eventually, in my case anyway, what happens is you kind of internalize the contract. You internalize the contract and you accept that many opportunities, career opportunities and so forth, are off limits to you because you sinned in this church, this virus church. And I'm not going to call it a religion, I will call it a cult.
One of the best defenses of the AIDS establishment is telling you that it's far too complex for you to understand. You can't possibly understand it. Don't try, just trust us. And that has been very successful so far. At some point in time, and I hope it's not in the too distant future, we will be looking back on AIDS and saying, how could we have been bamboozled for so long? How come nobody spoke up?
One of the things I found very surprising is the degree to which journalists, science journalists, have just followed the medical industry line and not seriously challenged it to a large extent.
All around it was this bizarre war about who was allowed to say what about what might help people with the syndrome. And people were so attacked and blocked and demonized for that, that most people just backed off.
We have had great difficulty with a fairly short paper based entirely on data in the UK and USA, all verifiable, all factual, and coming from an immense and well-validated database in both countries. We cannot get that published. It's only 4,000 words. We cannot get it published. We sent it to the BMJ, the Lancet, the New England Journal of Medicine, the Journal of the Royal Society of Medicine, and we've discussed it in other quarters, and they will not only not publish it, they will not give reasons for not publishing it, and they did not subject it to peer review.
A tragedy, a disgrace, it's been almost complete. There are people in this city who work quite hard to try and create the space in which a proper discussion can be had.
Whenever I or anyone else raises the argument that we should start looking at the alternative views, we're immediately told that we're being highly irresponsible, that we're encouraging the gay community into things like unsafe sex, and we're being completely and utterly disregarding the anxieties of people who have...
Another segment tomorrow. We got to say goodbye to our WVI audience because they're going to the news, and we're going to continue on. You can listen at prn.live, and I'd like your input. 888-874-4888. So now these are journalists, and I went to Scotland to interview the most famous epidemiologist in Scotland. That's the gentleman you heard a few moments ago. He organized a group of some of the most outstanding scientists in the world, and they wrote a 4,000-word article about why we have to look at lifestyle. It's not a virus that just everybody can walk around in the air and pick it up. And yet that was what people were believing. And as a result, if a person tested positive on a fraudulent test, they were suddenly shunned, sometimes fired. Many committed suicide because they felt, well, it's fatal, it's inevitable. But it wasn't. And they tried to show that. Now, I asked them, gentlemen, give me the names, and I want to see how many articles each of these people published. This one person had published over 400 articles in the best journals in the world. None of them. Thousands of articles published, not one could get this published. No one would publish it. Wow. So that's where we're at. Now, I'd like to hear from you, and I'll play another clip tomorrow. And by the way, just to show you that... these people are not exceptions. Dr. Charles Thomas, former professor of biochemistry, Harvard and Johns Hopkins University, and former chair of cell biology department at Scripps Research Institute. You don't get any more famous in your field than him. Quote, "I often wonder what would happen if all federal money for AIDS education, research, treatment, and so forth was suddenly dropped to zero. It's my belief that AIDS would go away. In other words, the AIDS disease that we see today would be reassigned to their former categories, pneumocystis carinii pneumonia, Kaposi sarcoma, and the other 25 or so different diseases, not including cervical dysplasia and so forth. AIDS has been a disease of definition. If we said that it didn't exist and didn't pay for it with taxpayer money, it would disappear into the background of normal mortality," end quote. Now, he's not alone. The man who won the Nobel Prize, Dr. Curry Mullis, said this, quote, "AIDS is not God's wrath or any other absurdity. A segment of our society was experimenting with their lifestyles, and it didn't work. They got sick. Another segment of our pluralistic society called them doctor scientist refugees from the failed war on cancer, or just called them professional jackals, discovered that it did work. It worked for them. They are still making payments on their new BMWs out of your pocket," end quote. Now, how many more people who are famous in their field, highly respected, no controversy, have made statements about AIDS that challenge the prevailing view? Over 3,000. Want to read them? Go to GaryNoll.com. I have it posted, all of them, their biographical background and their statements. You wouldn't know that 3,000 more people stood out and spoke because none of them were invited on to any media to share their points of view. But there are the quotes so you can see for yourself. So there was lots of dissent. It's just that it was closed down immediately. Do we have any calls on? If we do, we'll go to a call.
No, Gary, we don't.
No calls. Okay. Let me just finish up with this. I'm playing this tape to show you that the mindset of controlling the public into believing a lie that AIDS is infectious, it's in the air, every human being on Earth is equally susceptible, was never true. Yes, HIV existed. Yes, people got sick from it. Yes, people died from it. But people also died from the treatment. But the people controlling the treatment controlled the science. They controlled the media. They advertised. They funded groups, AIDS groups, foundations, and those who were on the receiving end of their largesse, well, they had to support this, take the drug. But where do you make the money? Where do you get the Nobel Prize by saying, let's build up your immune system naturally, which uses diet, behavior? Nobody's going to pay attention to that. That's what we did. But just remember, they attacked for succeeding, and they're rewarded for failing. Just remember that. Now, one last thing. Coming up, we're going to have a 1 and 2 week in mid-September, a retreat. This is not an anti-aging study. That won't happen for probably another 9 months after that, because we're still in the midst of the one we have, which is doing very, very well. But this is about people who need a break, people who need to rest, reduce their stress, eat great food, drink great juices, cleanse, detoxify, meditate, do yoga, tai chi, qigong, water aerobics, being around natures and butterflies, clean air, beautiful environment, wonderful staff. So if you feel you deserve that, give Luann a call. We have 3 places left. That's it. Then we're full. Luann's number, to make sure it's right for you, and it's not right for everyone, 903-881-7008. 903-881-7008. And finally, coming up next Monday, we are making changes, some very positive changes. And the person following us right now, Eutrice Lead, is a part of those positive changes. Because of the popularity of her program, because of her outstanding ability to work with people on issues in a common sense and gentle manner, we're moving her to 5 o'clock in prime drive time. From 4 to 6 o'clock in the evening. That's your big audience, and not 1 o'clock. So we're putting in its place on 1 o'clock. We're putting in Dr. Naomi Wolf one day, Abby Martin another day, Ralph Nader another day, and we have Jimmy Dore another day, and hopefully Celia Farber, she's going to let us know. So we have 5 hard-hitting shows that are there to inform, empower, and give you the truth, whereas Eutrice's show is a comfort show. It's where you go to share your thoughts and have someone who's both compassionate, empathetic, and insightful in the wise woman tradition to help guide you to a solution. So all that's coming this coming Monday. So we're looking forward to it. And we're also interviewing new hosts because we're going to be going live till late at night. And we're going to bring on about 20 new hosts. So a whole lot of good stuff is happening. And just go to prn.live and you'll see the catalog and you'll see the news of all the new changes. Thank you all for listening and have a nice day.